Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribe and follow the podcast. Here's a YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there. As the NFL trade deadline in the books, and the Philadelphia Eagles did not make a move. After all those deadlines with Howie Roseman in charge of a move to solidify or add to the team. I mean, you go back years to, you know, Jay Ajayi and Golden Tate and Jannard Avery. I mean, year in, year out, when the Eagles have a good record, when they're in it, Kevin Byard, Robert Quinn, they go and make moves. They go and add to the team to try to get over the hump. The Eagles, of all the teams that are 6-2 or better, they're the only team that did not add. So surprising. Are they a winner? Are they a loser? Let's get into it. Winners, losers from the NFL trade deadline. And this is league-wide, not just NFCs, not just Philadelphia Eagles, but league-wide. Winners, losers from the NFL trade deadline. Let's go one. I'll go winner, loser, winner, loser. So a winner, clearly, for me, was the Kansas City Chiefs after watching them Monday night. They did their damage before the trade deadline, getting Uche from the New England Patriots, DeAndre Hopkins from the Titans. Look, they are the best team in pro football, the best team in the AFC. They have become the new Patriots, where it's inevitable they're going to win. They know exactly what they need. They know how to go get it. They are a master at adding something that will help. I looked at Hopkins. I looked at his numbers when he got traded there. I was like, eh. And it feels like he's washed. And then, boom, first game, 6 catches. You know, he gets in the end zone, makes big, big third down plays for a team that thrives on third down. Chiefs are a winner. Chiefs are always a winner. The league goes through them. And that's why I kind of like when I see people talking about Baltimore and all this upside, I just kind of roll my eyes. Because we've seen this story before, you know, back in the day, it was the Colts and all their upside comparatively to the New England Patriots. It's the Chiefs. It's always the Chiefs. All right, they're a winner. A loser, clearly, and most especially, is Jerry Jones. I mean, what are the Cowboys doing? The Dallas Cowboys are in no man's land right now. Their quarterback is on IR for the next 4 weeks. They're going to have to try to get by with Cooper Rush. The best they're going to go in the next 4 games with Cooper Rush is going to be 2-2. That's the best. More likely is 1-3. They are an under 500 team right now. They will get Parsons back and Lawrence back at some point. Maybe Parsons this weekend against the Eagles. But it's not a good defense right now. The offense is very Dak dependent. He wasn't playing great and now he's hurt. And you have a season that probably necessitates selling, if nothing else. Instead, he goes and gets Mingo, the receiver from the Panthers, who has been very nondescript, poor, not productive in his first couple years in the NFL. Gives up a fourth-round pick. And we're talking about a pick that, if the Cowboys keep sputtering, could be, you know, the lower end of that first round. Fourth round. We're talking about, you know, I don't know, the 100th pick in the draft, you know, or something in that realm. That's a lot to give up for a receiver on a team that right now can't get out of its own way. It's just that, like, they should have considered a serious sell-off in Dallas. And instead, you have Jerry Jones buying. It's delusion to the highest order with the Dallas Cowboys, led by their owner, who cannot see 2 feet in front of him when it comes to his football team. Major loser, Jerry Jones. Winner. How about teams needing wide receivers? The positions become oversaturated. I have felt this as drafts. Every single draft the last 5 or 6 years, I'm told, it's the greatest receiver draft of all time. Well, eventually, if you keep having every year where the athletes in amateur football, high school football, college football, all are gravitating towards the wide receiver position, well, eventually, supply and demand even out. I do think at some point teams are going to stop paying multiple wide receivers because you could just draft a bunch of wide receivers and they all seem to work out, or a lot of them do. The Packers have kind of gone with this mold right now. We'll see what they do and who they decide to pay and don't pay. I think Jaden Reed is worth paying, but that's a different story for a different day. But you also then have this thing where, you know, you drafted a guy 3 years ago, then you draft another guy this year. The guy this year is better, and you're ready to move off the guy that you drafted a few years ago. It's like, it's a little bit, there's just more of them. But like the running back position was at one point where, well, I'll just get another one. And I think you're seeing now teams that are in need actually have a need at the wide receiver position. You could very easily just go grab a wide receiver. I mean, the Steelers grabbed Mike Williams yesterday. The Jets grabbed Devontae Adams. The Bills grabbed Amari Cooper. The Cowboys, for whatever reason, got Mingo. The Chiefs got DeAndre Hopkins. If you need a wide receiver with a pulse, you could get one. That one, that's become the easiest position to add. Of course, the Eagles and Howie Roseman spent too much on a player that probably is worse than all but maybe one of the guys that have been traded in season. That would be Jahan Dotson. Don't overpay for wide receivers in trades. Wait the market out. You know, Deontay Johnson to the Ravens. I mean, you can get yourself a solid wide receiver for fifth, sixth round picks, pick swaps in the middle of a season. Plug and play, put him in. It's a position of great saturation right now. So if you need a receiver, you are a winner, including the Ravens there with Deontay Johnson. A loser, the Philadelphia Eagles. I thought Howie Roseman and the Eagles lost yesterday with a chance to push this thing into overdrive. It told me their lack of action yesterday that they don't believe that this is the year to go for it, that they're looking more at a big picture run with this youngish group. And I can understand that. I can respect it. But when you're 6-2 and you're the only 6-2 team that didn't add, you know, 6-2 or better team in the NFL that didn't add, it makes you wonder why. It makes you wonder what they're holding those picks for. I understand, you know, we did the exercise yesterday in the midday show talking about premium picks and what they will likely or have to use them on in the coming years. I don't know. You know, right tackle is certainly one of them, without question. Lane Johnson's future, you know, he's an older player. You know, Jalen Hurts has played better. I think the questions about the future of the quarterback position have calmed down in Philadelphia, perhaps. Howie Roseman and the Eagles still have those questions, and then that's why they want to hold their picks. Perhaps they just love their players. But I thought yesterday was an opportunity to get better, and the Eagles chose not to get better. They stayed the same. Puts them in the loser category for me. A winner at the NFL trade deadline is both the Lions and Za'Darius Smith finding each other. It was the right player for the right team. Once the Lions lost Hutchinson, they had a major hole. Smith is the best possible option right now, considering Crosby didn't move, considering Myles Garrett wasn't moving. The best option for the Lions to fill that hole now was Za'Darius Smith. Look, is he the current version of Smith, close to the current version of Hutchinson? No. But he's another body to throw in there. The Lions have played really well post-Hutchinson's injury, but they're not getting to the quarterback close to as much as they were. His pressure rate, his sack rate, way higher, way, way, way higher. It's just like they're not getting there on money downs the way they were early in the season. Now, their offense is so good. Their line is so good. Their safeties are so good. Their corners are better. Their linebackers are good. Their D tackles are good, that they're overcoming it. But there's going to be a moment in a big game, whether it be against Brock Purdy, you know, whether it be against Jaden Daniels, whether it be against Jalen Hurts, where they're going to have to go get the quarterback, whether it be against Patrick Mahomes in a Super Bowl, where they're going to have to go make a play on the quarterback and put pressure on the quarterback. And that's why Za'Darius Smith is there. And for him, I mean, look, the guy is 32 years old. He's had 65 sacks in the NFL. This is his shot now to go and help a team win a Super Bowl. It's a great fit. It's a great pairing. I think really good job on both sides to get this done. And it didn't cost the Lions an arm and a leg as they're all in, but not breaking the bank of their future. Lions, Za'Darius Smith, winner. A loser is Joe Shane. What are the Giants doing? How are the Giants not sell off more parts? Why is Darius Slayton still in the Giants uniform? Azeez Ojulari? I mean, that's a guy that's going to hit free agency. And the Giants already have Thibodeau, a first-round pick. They signed Brian Burns. Are they really going to pay Azeez Ojulari? It's bizarre. It reminds me of last year of Bryce Huff with the Jets. They didn't move him at the deadline. They should have. Then they lost him for nothing. And not that he's any good, but he was a player they had and they liked and was good for them. Obviously not been good for the Eagles. Azeez Ojulari has a chance to be the same thing. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he gets a big contract day one, day two of free agency, not with the Giants. You're like, wait a second, that was a 2-7 team and they didn't trade him? They could have had a fourth or fifth round pick and they didn't trade him at the deadline last year? Just bizarre GM work from a guy that's just clearly on borrowed time in Joe Shane. Our final winner, final loser of the NFL trade deadline here. I'm going to go with a winner of the Washington Commanders landing Marshawn Lattimore yesterday for the price of a third round pick. Now, it's a double whammy because they had an extra third because the Eagles trade for Jahan Dotson earlier this season, you know, in the preseason when the Eagles traded the third round pick for Jahan Dotson. That gave Washington more ammo entering this season to use however they wanted. Now, they didn't trade that particular pick, but they did trade a third round pick to go get Marshawn Lattimore. I think this is a risky move, but one that's the reward is huge. Lattimore is a four-time Pro Bowler. He's an all-pro. When he first came in the league, and it's a while ago now, 2017, he was a great player. He helped instantly turn around that Saints defense to put New Orleans back in championship contention with that great 2017 draft they had with Kamara and Lattimore and those guys. And now he's at a different stage of his career. Finally, the Saints are realizing what they are, a dumpster fire, you know, firing their coach a couple days ago with Dennis Allen, and they got to move on. Now he's had injuries. He has not been quite the same player, hasn't been quite the same playmaker. But if I'm the Commanders and I have a 7-2 football team, I just watched the Eagles do nothing. I could use a pick that I got from them, in essence, to facilitate a trade to go get a corner. And I'm looking around the NFC, and I'm like, all right, if I'm going to do this, I got two games left against the Eagles. That's A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. Okay, if I get to the postseason, I'm going to have to see Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams. I'm going to have to see, you know, Deebo Samuel. I'm going to have to see some big-time wide receivers in the postseason, assuming I get there, to get, you know, to make a run. I need a corner. I'd see something better there. I think Dan Quinn is a really good coach. I like what they've done with Sandstro, their rookie corner. I like what they've done out there with Newton, their defensive tackle. You know, they're putting the pieces together. Their linebackers are playing well with Luvu and Bobby Wagner. They've got some pieces. Dorrance Armstrong's been a great signing for them on the edge. They were missing one more veteran corner because the corners that were left over from the Ron Rivera era were a disaster. They were missing one veteran corner. And I think this could rejuvenate Lattimore. Now, he might get banged up. He might not be the same. But I could see it rejuvenating him and him playing well and having some big plays down the stretch. I love that deal for Washington. I thought they were a big winner. Did they pay a little bit too much of a price for a player that hasn't been quite the same? Maybe. I mean, you can make that case. But sometimes you got to pay when you're trying to win. And the Commanders are trying to win right now. Last loser, anyone out there that has Seattle Seahawks playoff bets or tickets on the line this season? Team started off 3-0. They have fallen apart since then. And you watched them yesterday with the deadline. They didn't add. And there was a report out there that they were listening, at least listening, on DK Metcalf. Meanwhile, in the NFC West, I watched the Rams get on, you know, catch fire the last month. The 49ers start to have Christian McCaffrey back this Sunday against Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the Cardinals, who have turned the corner here under Jonathan Gannon, and they're playing good football, and they won again last week, they trade for Brandon Browning, the pass rusher from the Broncos. So you have an NFC West that is getting better. It won't surprise me at all if the Seahawks finish in last place in this division. You know, sometimes activity at the trade deadline is necessary. Sometimes it's not. But sometimes you got to read the room. And I thought yesterday the Eagles, to go back to them for a second, they kind of just shrugged their shoulders. You know, it felt like if we don't, we don't. Kind of year by Howie Roseman and Jeff Lurie. Like, if they go and make a run and get to the Super Bowl, great. But I just felt like there was a way to get better yesterday. And the Eagles chose continuity. They chose the big picture. They chose 2025 over 2024. And maybe they're seeing this correctly. Maybe Jalen Hurts, the passing game, is just not where it needs to be. Maybe next year's the year for this team. I do think they'll be a better, have a better chance to win the Super Bowl next year than they do this year. But there could have been that thread-the-needle type of thing where you don't have to give up a first-round pick for a player and mortgage your future and getting your next Lane Johnson and all that kind of stuff. But you could improve right now. I was surprised. I thought there were areas at pass rush, at D-tackle, at running back, at tight end, at O-line depth, at wide receiver. They could have got better. I mean, they could have. Now they chose not to, and they chose to believe in their guys, and that's commendable. And we'll see if it works. We'll see if it works for the Philadelphia Eagles. But I did watch the Commanders get better. I watched the Lions get better. You know, in the NFC, those two teams got better. The 49ers, by accident, are going to get better with Christian McCaffrey coming back. So this NFC continues to evolve. The Eagles decided to sit it out, let it breathe. A bizarro kind of trade deadline for Howie Roseman, an executive that we know is always so super and hyper aggressive. He wasn't yesterday. In fact, I was surprised at how little even rumors were out there about the Eagles targeting this position and that position. Really, the only thing we heard the last 48 hours was they would trade Bryce Huff if given the opportunity. Or maybe he's on the block. That was really it. All right, so my winners, the Chiefs, teams needing wide receivers, the Lions pairing with Za'Darius Smith, and the Washington Commanders. My losers, Jerry Jones was kind of, you could put him in this category for everything all the time. The Eagles, Howie Roseman's front office, Joe Shane, and anyone with Seahawks playoff tickets, because that team is going the wrong direction. It won't surprise me if they finish last in the NFC West. I appreciate you listening, subscribing, following the podcast, of course, your YouTube feed, 94WIP. Check it out there as we get set tomorrow for the start of week 10 of the NFL season. Wow, it's amazing how quickly this thing moves. Week 10 of the NFL season, you know, it's like 80 degrees today or 78 or whatever it is in Philadelphia. It is, we're moving now, a couple weeks away, a few weeks away from Thanksgiving. We have a Birds at the Break, Birds in the Middle of the Season, special event coming up at Chickies of Pete's on November 20th, guest bartending afterwards. And don't forget, Midday Show for the next few weeks, giving away an incredible prize courtesy of Gerhardt's Appliance and Jack Daniels. Be tuned in to the Midday Show every single day. Appreciate you listening, subscribing, following the podcast, of course, a YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there.